us your holy word, the Bible, as guideline, as direction as to how we should live on this earth. And today, Lord, I pray that you will have your Holy Spirit guide us, our hearts and mind, so that together we can worship you as a family, as a church family, as a biological family, that we can relate to one another and share the common goal of living a healthy and meaningful life that you intend us to live. I pray, Lord, you guide us during this time of worship and sharing together, for I ask in Christ's name. Amen. There we go. Thank you. I just put this picture up as a start. Just found out this morning, actually, so I put this on. It is quite an artwork, right? Not many people can do that. I don't know whether this young teenager did that or not. I don't know. But it is possible. If you have that gift, you can make nice sand castle this way. Teenagers are full of potential. And this one thing I want you to keep in mind. So that's today's topic. The reason I continue this topic is I want to let you know that this I'm going to share with you, maybe even further in the future, these two topics are very closely related. First of all, we talk about the humanity of Christ and then the importance of the Bible in our life. So we have to try to correlate the two together. I have given you a couple of times of sharing already about the humanity of Christ, and I'll go through a little bit more on that, but I'm going to elaborate that into a practical way that we live in this modern digital age. So the subtopic, you can call it the subtopic of today, or the main theme of today, is the shaping of the mind of the teenager. How many of them are teenagers here today? Will you raise your hand? Oh, don't be afraid. You're 12 years old, you are starting to be a teenager. Okay, I wish you had more teenagers here today, because my topic is particularly focused on them today. But I'm also glad we have a lot of parents here today. They have teenagers. But more important, we have a lot of parents today. They have children from 1, 2, 3 years old until 12 years old. And I hope, even though they are not here today, and some of the teenagers are not here today, I hope the parent can also get a message that will be very helpful for them today as they continue to train their children. Now, I'm going to subdivide into also two main topics. One, I just mentioned briefly about the family of Christ. Okay, so this will be the first part. What can we learn from the life of Christ? I'm not going to dwell on that today because there's another area, and that will be a very good topic to talk about on Father's Day and Mother's Day, okay? But I just mentioned it briefly. But the other one, the other topic I'm going to focus on also is the wisdom that we can learn from modern science and biblical knowledge, and how we can combine to them together to have a meaningful life. Now, first of all, to talk a little bit about Christ's human parents. And as I said, I'm going to keep that brief because just give you a general principle, and then you can learn from them, study yourself. As you know, a family consists of father and mother, right? Obviously, Christ is a father, a human father, a human mother, Joseph and Mary. Now, I have talked to you a little bit about when Christ was very young and what happened. And so I here just emphasize to bring out the point again about Joseph. Now, not there are a lot to mention of the Bible about Joseph, but from what happened during the childhood of Christ, we know that he was a very good father. Why? I try to remember the three P's for you all parents. Joseph was a provider, he was a protector, and he was a proactive leader. That's the father's job in the family, the average family. Joseph provide, he was a carpenter, he provide all the needs for his family to have a healthy home for Jesus to live in. Now, Jesus is not alone because he has three other brothers and two sisters. We call it a half-sister, half-brother, because they were human conceived, but Christ was spiritually conceived, so there's a difference there. But this is it's four brothers, right? Two sisters. So it's a seven people in the family. You know, it's a big family. But Joseph was a protector. He protect them, train them up, and he was a proactive leader because he's the one that make decision in the family what to do. The angels appear to Joseph three times, if you read the gospel. They didn't appear to Mary. The angel appeared to Joseph first. Because why? Because Joseph is the leader of the family at that time. The first time the angel appeared to him, he talked to Joseph, he said, you know, Mary is going to have a child. Joseph, what? I haven't married her yet. How come she has a baby already? Now, in those Jewish days, this is a shameful thing for the mother to already have a baby because they get married. So Joseph tried to do away with her for her sake, for Mary's sake, so that it won't have this, you know, people talking, gossiping, all those talking about. But the angel told Joseph, said, don't worry, I have a plan. You go ahead and marry. Go ahead and marry Mary. Okay? Don't be afraid because she's already prepped. This is a very special plan of God. So you take a lot of effort and courage for Joseph to take that kind of action. The second time the angel appeared to Joseph was when? Remember? After Jesus was born, after the three wise men visited Jesus, the angel said, you know, you better take Jesus away for a while because King Herod is going to kill Jesus. So Joseph and Mary took off right away, and I remember I told you they took a very long journey all the way to Egypt. I don't know how many days, very long journey, over 1,000 miles probably, just either walking or by the mule or donkey. It's a big job. Jesus there was not even 1 year old by that. Because Herod was a bad king. He was so selfish, thinking ahead for himself and the family. He's already very old, you know, because he died within a year after this happened, you know. But he was afraid Jesus is going to be the king and took over the position. So he, you know what he did? Remember? He killed all the children after Jesus left, disappeared with Joseph and Mary. He killed all the children. How many years? Remember? 2 years and under. He covered well. Jesus wasn't even 1 year old, I don't think, at that time, but he might have been getting close to 2 years old. But in order to get with Jesus in the area of Bethlehem, he killed all the male children, 1 or 2 years old and under, try to get rid of Jesus, obviously. So Joseph and Mary went to Egypt for a while. There's some Jewish community existing in Egypt at that time. But shortly after that, Herod died, as you remember. So the angel appeared to Joseph again the third time. He said, Joseph, Herod is gone. You don't have to worry now. You can go back to your hometown. So Joseph took Jesus back to Palestine. But because Herod's son took over, and it's the best son too, he's overseeing the Bethlehem area. So Joseph kind of directed the path a little different and went to Nazareth, you know, instead of going back to Bethlehem area. So the angel appeared to Joseph three times. He's the head of the family. He makes decision. He has to take action. And that's why I think with that background, you know that Joseph is a provider, protector, and proactive leader, taking action, taking care of their family. And he was very obedient to God's command. So from that, I know that Jesus have a very good model in his family to follow, and that is Joseph. Okay, the other thing about the mother. Now, we know mother has a very important role in the family. The mother is probably the closer to the children than the father, because father usually busy making a living. The most contact is with the mother. So the mother, I give you a lot of C's to remember, easier to remember. Mary was a mother who was, I use the present tense anyway for now, he said, who is concerned and caring. Mary is the one who connects and communicates in the family. And also she's the one that coordinates and counsels in the family. Now the mother role is not just bringing up kids. It's very, mother and children usually very close. They spend a lot of time together. When the children starting to go to school, but they spend a lot of time in school now. And I'll say a little more about that. So the school has a lot of influence on the children when they grow up. But the mother at home is also a very important part to play. So that's why the parents have to be very good model for the children. The children to follow the parents' guidance, especially when they are real young. When their brain is developing, they will develop habits and do a lot of things under the guidance of the mother. So Mary is very concerning and caring mother. Remember when Jesus was in Jerusalem 12 years old, he disappeared for a few days, and Mary found out he was not in the company, so it is big effort. Go back to Jerusalem and look for Jesus. But something that surprised us in a way, you know what Jesus told her? Jesus said, why are you looking for me? Don't you know that I am about my father's business? He was 12 years old, okay, at that time. So basically, Jesus has a mission at that time. The mother was caring, but she couldn't really understand Jesus completely, even at that age. Because why? Because Jesus is an unusual person, both human and God. So, but you know, the Bible said Mary kept all those things in her mind. She couldn't understand it, but she kept what Jesus said in her mind. I'm sure she'll be thinking about all the way going back home. What does that mean? Jesus said, I'm about my father's work. Don't you know that? Now, there are other occasions that I'm sure Mary will encounter Jesus making comment like that. I'm sure that Mary will be thinking about that, asking God to make her understand what Jesus said and was her role in bringing up Jesus. So Mary is a concerning mother. And then the other thing is he's connecting the stepbrother, the stepsister, and Jesus to make that family that so they do not have any friction, bad friction or difficulty. And then the mother is also the one that coordinates things in the family with the father, with the children. She's the one that does the planning at home. And of course, the last part of that is counseling. Mother is very important. When children were young, when they have problems, they should develop a good enough relationship with the mother. They can come to the mother and say, Mom, I have a problem. Try to help me. What does that mean? That needs to have openness and transparency between the children and the mother in particular. I'll mention that more later. But nowadays, it's not easy today to do. You know why? Children is very great older. Teenager, they go home. They spend half, most of the day at home. They go home, went back to their room and do their own thing. Then you know what? All day long, okay? Mom said, time now, supper now. He said, okay, I'll be back. After supper, back to home, doing back in her room or his room doing the same thing. Some children even doing this during meal time. Digital age, plus and minus, I won't mention about that. And I know a relative who just did that as a teenager, all day long holding this, didn't want to communicate with people, playing game or whatever, watching movie, cartoon or whatever, all day long. And you see that all the time. I went back to Hong Kong a few years ago, and you know, in the subway, walking around, all the teenagers were carrying something in their hand like that. On the train, on the bus, they do that all the time. And then some of them have earplugs on, listening to music and whatnot. Now keep that in mind when you train your children in this digital age. And I'll mention more about that later too. Now, we talk about, in reality, two aspects of life that influence all of us. When you look back at yourself, no matter how old you are, you will all agree, because science proves us that way. Our life is controlled by two elements. One is what? Nature. The other thing is nurture. You understand the difference, right? I think they have almost as important influence on our life, half and half, I call it. So basically, nature means your DNA, how you were born and make up of. Your individual gifts, your talent, which are considered called God's attribute, because we inherited some of God's ability, we call attributes. So DNA, our DNA, what we came to this world with, all those things already part of you, built in already. You can't change it. Those were potential that you have. But the other part is nurture. Nurture is the important part in our life. How you make use of the resources and build it up or break it down is up to you. It's up to children, it's up to parents. That's why I feel that nurture is the thing we can change. We can, God give us the ability to control. Just like God give you something, the material, the resources. How you use it is how going to end up in your life, how successful or how ruined your life is going to be. So I divide it. Now I'm going to concentrate more on nurture. And I put it into four main categories. First of all, environment. We all know very well environment affects all of us, health-wise, mental-wise. We also know that, as I mentioned, the family is very important. And then education and the life principle. And that part I'm going to emphasize, that because life principle is the guidance of our life, we can do all that, but you have to have some direction, where to go, some principle to follow. And the Bible will be our absolute guidance and principle. Now, just to mention a little bit first about environmental influences. That has to do with the upbringing of the parents, the expectation of the parent, and then the training, the mental development as we grow. And I will say a little bit about the difference of culture, make a lot of difference, right? Now, Jesus lived in the Jewish custom 2,000 years ago. At that time, there is no computer, no digital thing, no airplane, none of those modern things. But he lived in a different culture. But you know what? The Jewish training, they have been very much focused on the Old Testament testing. So, teaching. So when Jesus was young, he really studied the Old Testament. Because you know what? You know, during his temptation, he quoted the Old Testament three times. So he knows the Old Testament very well. He was a very good Jewish scholar because he's followed the culture and study and learn. And this, as we read this morning, the Bible told us in the book we read today, how important it is to follow God's direction and rule. And you remember what we read, the first reading in the Bible. So Jesus gone through all that culture. He went through all that period too. But the fact is, even though that was 2,000 years ago, the culture versus the culture we now is completely different, yet God is telling us God's principle for living never changed. Because God's principles are absolute. The Bible is as good in those days, in the first century, as it's good as it is now, in terms of for us to follow in our life. I would just briefly mention here that all of you move over here, now living in this country, especially for us parents, we have an oriental culture background. We came to America, we exposed to American Western culture. You'll find there is some kind of conflict and difficulty trying to adjust. And I have mentioned many times when I share things with friends. You are actually advantaged because why? You have some very good Oriental culture in your background for the parents who lived overseas before they came to this country. And then you're exposed to a Western culture. There are good and bad things about whole culture. But a wise parent will select what is good, what is a good Chinese culture, what is good American culture, and you will combine them together and you'll be way ahead because win-win situation. There are some bad things about Chinese culture, all of you I think recognize. Oh, I don't want to lose face, you know, that kind of thing. You go to a restaurant, everybody wants to pay for the bill. You know, there's one incident, when it happened, a big party, everybody looking for a wallet to pay for the bill, you know, to say that, oh, I'm cheating. By the end, everybody there, nobody paid. Everybody's doing that, but didn't end up. So they have to ask to find out, hey, who is the head of the party? Who is going to pay this bill? I haven't received the payment yet. Okay. Now, this is Chinese culture, okay? I think some of you agree with that. Now, American culture are usually very open, okay? They are more transparent. And I think you find out that, especially in the US compared to some other countries. One thing that I learned is that Chinese parents, especially father, has a very solemn figure, okay? The head of the house. They protect for the family, provide all the things, but the father seldom communicate with the children in a very close, intimate way. Chinese father never say sorry to his children. How many of you have a father, they say sorry when they make a mistake? Good, Mary, you have a good father. You have a Western-trained father, okay? Now, American parents, they are different. If they really did something wrong, they will apologize to your children and say, oh, I'm sorry, son, I make a mistake. Chinese father really hardly do that. It's good enough if they communicate with their children. So we can learn both. Chinese culture, American culture, put them together. That will be excellent for training your children. But you have to have the wisdom to pick what is good and what is bad. Now, family guidance, I already talked about. The environment has to do where you live in, where you train your children. It makes a difference, okay? Let me give you a Chinese example. How many of you know this? How many know what this means? So, yeah. What does it mean? It has to do with environment, right? Now, since I have time today, I'll go a little detail, but I was going to just skip that, but since I have time today, the first time Mrs. Mencius, Mengzi, the mother of Mengzi, first lived near a cemetery. You know what happened? So the little guy came out, and all he saw all day is people crying, and then singing all that in the cemetery. So he played along with the people there, cemetery. You know how that all get into the little boy's mind. Oh, there's the tomb, there's dead body, there's coffin, people lining up, crying. And that is the environment he was in the first time. The mother said, no, I can't do that. I can't expose my son to this kind of atmosphere. He will affect the rest of his life. So he moved, okay? So they moved to a marketplace. There are all the butcher, all the merchant, loud, noisy place. They bargain, they cut, you know, chicken, pigs, whatever. And the boy was acting it out too, you know, doing all those things, become child play. And the mother noticed that. The mother said, wow, that is not good. I don't want my son grow up to be a butcher. Just selling meat, something like a market, right? So they move again. And this time they moved near a school. And then Mengzi was very well trained. You know, he's a great philosopher in China. So that has to do with environment. We can learn from Chinese history and story, environment. Now, this is the English version of that, just a picture. In case, you know, I was just saying that in case that people didn't know who Mengzi was. So environment nature, my parents, has a very important part in our life. And going back, so I try to share this because I got to in my heart today, how I share this with the rest of my church family and my friends, parents. The earlier you know that in the life, the better. The earlier you start that kind of training in them, the better. Because once it gets stuck, it's hard to change, even though it can be changed, but it's hard to change. So the attention of environment you provide, we're talking to parents now, the attention and environment you provide shape your child's brain development for life. Now, children learn quick. They ought to stuck there quick and stay there longer. That's why it's good for children to learn something good for them younger, because their brain develop and they stay longer and they're more reactive. By the time you're 60, 70, you start learning something, you know how difficult it is to learn something new. So it's why the brain, the potential of the child, child brain is so important. That's why you want to train it, to build it up when the brain is young. How many of you remember older folks? Something that really impressed your mind when you were just a few years old that you couldn't get rid of. It's always stay there, you know, experience. How many of you have that experience? Think that for occasion you can remember when you're only a few years old. Even though now maybe you are 30, 40, 50, you can still remember. Why? Because the child brain is encoded with that particular incident that you cannot forget. So in thinking back, I would say Jesus only a few years old. He had to do through all that rough traveling, even in his mother's womb, going to Egypt, traveling back and forth. I'm sure they impressed in Christ's mind when he was a child, young, what that means to him about the culture and the environment difficulty at that time. I share with you one incident. When I was about 2 or 3 or 4 years old, now you know how old I am now, because if I was born during the Second World War. I was in Hong Kong. I was staying at the basement of my grandmother's house at that time, because our family has to stay because of the lodging. I remember one day I went up to the rooftop. I probably about around 4, maybe not quite 4. You know what I remember? I remember the Japanese jet, the plane. They were dashing towards the Hong Kong harbor, some of them being shot, and they were just got into the water. I was only 3 or 4 years old. And I remember standing there, what is going on? All that noise of the plane, and the plane, because from the house of it I live in, was quite high, and you can see the Hong Kong harbor there. And I saw this plane just diving into the harbor because of the war going on. And I don't know why I remember how, but my mom must have found out I got up there and pulled me out there. So I don't remember how I ended up living at the top of the roof, but I remember this incident well. But I'm saying it, there are things in your childhood or in your young age that you really can remember, even though it seemed to be a long time ago. And it's hard to get rid of them. And they are not bad memory. They are memory to show you about, you know, the past. So, and the first part one I mentioned, it doesn't matter if it's 2,000 years ago, it's now. The environment change, our setting change, but living principle. The living principle as a believer, a Christian, will not change. You stay the same. So as you continue to train your children, you remember that. We are living different age, different culture. It doesn't matter. As long as you have a guidebook, the holy words of God to guide you. Now, today I'm going to share with you something different. I think it is good for us as Christians to put what we know in the modern age, the knowledge and wisdom we know, and try to incorporate into our Bible knowledge to make us more wisdom. I believe as a scientist, as a physician, that there's no conflict between science and God's words in the Bible, depending on how you look at it, okay? Now, today I'm going to share with you a little bit information about the function and development of the human brain, and then the shaping of the human mind. Now, the Bible mentioned mind and heart many times, hundreds of times combined together. But if you read the Bible, you know that the word heart and the mind are pretty much exchange, you know, interchangeable. When the Bible talks about your heart, he's talking about your mind, your thinking. The Chinese word is very good. Chinese word, xin tai, your heart, what, attitude. And they said it's the same as your brain. When you are trained, your brain, your mind, your brain is the resource, the biological resource. You can hold a brain, 3 pounds average, the brain, adult brain. You can hold it, it's a substance. Now, can you tell me what the mind is? Can you describe to me? Can you show me your mind? It's very hard, because it's very abstract, right? But the mind is the function of the brain. And the Bible talks about heart attitude. Heart, in Chinese, xin tai, that is also referred to the brain. How we look at things, our worldview, how we make judgment, how we look at each other. So that is xin tai, your attitude. And here, I just want to mention that parents has to be good model. I know it's not easy, we are human, but parents should know. They have to show their kids first before, because they look at your action, not your word. They scold them, I don't know how many times you scold them. It doesn't matter. You say, Mom, Dad, why did you do that? And you tell me to do something different. Parents has to be good mentor, good model. You have heard of the phrase, like father, like son. It was advertising on TV many years ago. Part of it is trait, part of it is nurture. And then children has their responsibility too. Of course, it's not one-way street. If you don't have communication, you cannot make a contact. Children has to learn like Christ. They have to be submissive. They have to be attentive to their parents. Hopefully, they have a good parents model to follow. But it's a mutual type of working relationship. Now, I want to share with you something a little scientific. I assume you mind, we have a lot of professors, a lot of educated people. Yeah, I just said to go and touch on some basic for you to express how I feel that is so important. We don't know a lot about our brain years ago, but for the last few decades in particular, because of the advancement of science, the first one that came to be very important is a gadget called MRI. How many of you know what MRI? Yeah, even the kids know that. You talk about it before, we depend on x-ray, only x-ray to check things out. But then MRI came out. MRI is magnetic imaging. Magnetic imaging. It because of the positive and negative pole that they take picture. Now they have what they call functional MRI. Functional MRI is dynamic. MRI is station. Functional MRI is dynamic. By using this kind of scientific knowledge, they can now study your brain. They can tell what you are thinking, what part of the brain is working when you do something good or bad. They can tell you what part of the brain is working by this study. They call functional MRI. It's just because of that, for the last couple of decades, we were able to understand more about our human brain function. And that is going to help all of us to develop a more healthy life for us and our children because of those knowledge. Now, this is the growth of the human brain. Roughly here from 25 weeks to term baby to adult. By the time baby was born, all the resources of nerve cell is already in the brain. Why there's so much convolution? Because when you have so many surfaces, the cell, you have more. They're growing because it's only 3 pounds, more area in the head. So biologically, you need a lot more space. That's why a lot of this is not very little surface space, and more an adult. Adult and the term baby, very little change in a way. But the baby brain is weightless. You know why? Because they have not been fully developed. Those brain, those nerve cells are not been fully encoded with material and nerve fibers and so forth, so they weigh less. The adult brain weigh more. But scientific studies show us that by the time you're about 6 years old, especially you get to about 10 or 12 years old, teenager, your the weight of your brain is already 95%. Now, what do they want to measure the weight? Well, because the weight will give us an idea how much information is already built into the nerve cells. The more you build in, the heavier they get, right? The nerve cells are pretty empty when it's first formed, but it has the potential. And not only that, the nerve cell has to connect it with one another through a lot of fibers, like wiring, you know. And the wiring and all those are the memory, the intelligence we build into the brain. That's why the adult brain is heavier than the youth brain, young brain. But up to a point, to the adulthood, basically all the female stimulation is fairly full already. That's why the brain cannot get much heavier than that. Do you know that how many nerve cells we have in our brain? You have some idea? Anybody knows? To give you some scientific information, but it's true, this study of it. The average person, young adult, teenager, has 100 billion nerve cells in the brain. No scientist nowadays can even try to analyze the brain because it's impossible. Because there's so much information in there. Computer is out of human computer capability. To even take a small slice of the brain to try to analyze it, impossible. But not only that, each of the nerve cells are communicated by a lot of fibers. Nerve fibers, connection. This is only one nerve cell out of 100 billion. And each of these nerve cells can have up to 1,000 or more connection to another cell connected. So we call it synapses in science, but synapses. Synapses are the communication capability to connect all the nerve cells together so that a person can develop memory, intelligence, and be able to do a lot of things. Just imagine if you have 100 to 150 trillion of those nerve cells sitting around connecting to all those cells. I can't imagine from human thinking how intricate the brain is. And that's why we read in Psalm 139:8. Our God is telling us, you are very wonderfully made, but it's beyond your human intelligence to understand all that. But that is why God said, you have to have faith to trust me what I'm doing. I mentioned this 2 years ago, tabula rasa. This is a Latin word meaning blank slate. When the child was born, there are some basic minimal function of the child for survival that's already built in, developed. But there are a lot more that will not be embedded in the brain until they start the child learning with the five senses, learning to know information. Then they start all get into the brain with the synapses, and then they become enlarged in the brain for information that will stay for the rest of their life, as long as they practice those. So the brain, this is a concept given by a philosopher, a British philosopher in the 17th century. And he used this terminology. So that when you are born as a baby, your mind is like a empty slate, a chalkboard. Not much information except the basic one for survival. And then from then on, you start learning day by day. Good or bad habits, good or bad thing, the child will start learning. It will be embedded in the brain. And those will become potential for how you live for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not trying to kind of put you on the spot with some scientific kind of thing, but I just want to show you the brain is basically connected by six major areas. We call it the frontal lobe, which is in the front part of the brain, the parietal lobe, which is on the side, the temporal lobe, which is also a little further down, but not so high, the occipital pole is in the back of the head, And then we talk about the cerebellum of the small brain, which is real right behind our neck there, and then the brain stem, which go all the way down to the rest of your body. Why did I mention that? Some of you already know, young children, right? How many of you have studied the brain before? No, yet, not yet. Okay, but you'll get to that in high school, study biology. Why do I point that out? Because I think it's important for us to know, because this is proven by science. We have to accept it. Each part of this brain gives different function. When you were born, this part of the brain is already in great function, so that you can breathe, your heart can beat regularly. There are a lot of basic function already built in when you're born. But with the other area, part of it is only developed. The occipital lobe has to do with seeing. You know, when you see, the information goes in to the back of your head. So if you can see, that means that part of the lobe of the brain is already functional. So in a child, this part already has some function. Okay, the brain stem already well developed, because it has to do with regulating body temperature, heart rate, swallowing, breathing. All those already built in, just like the animals. All this are already intrinsically built in when you are born during development. But human beings, of course, are different, and I'll talk to you more about that. Then the frontal lobe, however, is the least developed in terms of the human from the beginning. The frontal lobe have a lot of nerve cells there, but they are not very developed, and they are not encoded yet. Because why? The frontal lobe is the area, meaning dealing with thinking, planning, problem solving, behavior control, and decision making. All those very important things is all in the front part of the lobe, of the head, called the frontal lobe. There are even one part is called further up, we call the prefrontal lobe, further up. Those were the least developed when you were born, but they become more developed as long as you start to grow. And all those information will start feeding from the back to the front as you grow. The important one in terms of maturity, mental maturity, will start going that direction as you grow. When you are a teenager, by the time you're 12 years old, a lot of those information is already there. And the teenager is very, very versatile. They learn fast, and they keep the information fast. And the younger you start training your brain in doing that, the better they will be there. A lot of those, the frontal lobe is the more or less a commander, director, when, you know, try to connect all the other thing. And a lot of those area has to do with different skill. For example, if you like music, if you have a child start learning music when he's only a few years old, that's going to stick to that person a long time, and it's easier for them to learn. Just imagine when you get to 60 or 70, you start learning an instrument and start playing a piece of music, how long it will take you? We say, wow, my son and daughter, you really take it fast. The same thing with computer. You're amazing how a 2 or 3 years old already showing how to do all those things in the computer. And when you're 67 years old, you don't even know where to look for. Why? Because the young brain is very versatile and is very quick to pick things up. But the thing is, what you pick up is going to stay there. The bad habit is going to start when you are young. The good habit also starts when you're young. So there's a plus and minus, good and bad. The potential is there, but how you use it, it's going to make a difference. That's why parents are so important, come to play, to guide the life of the youth and the teenager. I just mentioned that earlier about the children. He said recent science has found that unborn and young children who experience traumatic stress, not to mention drugs and alcohol, may carry markers of it all their lives. This is in, even now, even they're talking about from infancy time. Because, why? Because the brain is developing, the brain exposing to all that, this high environment. If you are born out of an alcoholic mother or a drug addict in a father, you know, Even smoking, drinking in the mother during pregnancy will affect the child growth. And what he's saying there, the brain is already developing either in, you know, in vitro, in the mother's womb. That's why it's very important for the pregnant mother to live a meaningful life that is for the sake of the child. How many of you, if I give you a free ticket now to go to a cruise in the Caribbean in the South America, how many of you, if you are pregnant, would like to take that ticket? Will you take it? Why? Have you heard about the Zika virus? They were very prominent in this country. Try to prevent that now because it's happening in South America. Many, many pregnant mothers were born with a child with a small head, microcephaly. In other words, the head stopped growing when they were born. They usually have suture, a line in the head that make the child continue to grow the first few years. Then the skull expands, the brain can enlarge. But if you have this virus, somehow the bone completely sealed up already. There's no more suture or lining for the bone to expand. Because of that, the brain cannot grow and enlarge. So this is a condition called microcephaly. And if you are exposed to that virus as a mother, you will have tendency to have that kind of a child, which will be disabled, mentally retarded, and some a lot of other things. That's why environment is so important. And another thing, you all heard about in Flint. What happened in Flint? Anybody on Flint, Michigan? Lead poisoning, right? It's a big problem. Because the lead is a heavy metal. I discussed with you about heavy metal contamination a while back. And with the mother contaminated, the child get contaminated, the lead will get into the brain and it will affect the function and the growth of the brain. That's why this is such a big problem in Flint, Michigan, such a much controversy. Now, when do you get to the 1 to 6 years old? He said that 95% of the adult's weight is already building. So it's already pretty set in a way. But the thing is about reasoning, movement, emotion, memory, so all started to be building up. And that's why parents who nurture, stimulate, and chat up their kids are building a firm, long, lifelong foundation. Parents who are overly negative or harsh are setting the foundation for the kid. That's why in the first few years from on, teenagers are so important. Now, there are good and bad about achievement. You talk about tiger mom. They want the child to be good in everything, put a lot of pressure on the kid. Well, they're good on that, it's good for achievement, but sometimes it can go overboard. Because it's why, according to statistics, a lot of suicide in Asian teenagers is because too much pressure by the parent. They seem like they are hopeless, I don't know. They compare with people all the time. Oh, I'm not as good as he is or she is. And keep doing, you get frustrated, you get depressed, you become isolated. And people say, well, what is the point? I'm not that good. What's the point of living anymore? I cannot reach my parents' expectation. Well, something to keep in mind. It could be a tiger mom that can cause problems, as long as you find a balance on that. 7 to 22 years old. At that time, as you say, I talk to you, the prefrontal cortex, they start getting more developed, which control impulses, making reasonable decisions, and become more mature. Now, one difference about the teenager and the adults, the teenager like to have excitement, okay? They want to feel good, but their frontal lobe is not well developed yet to think what is good for them, what is not. They don't don't care about the end result. They just want to be happy for that moment to be. That's why people go into drug drinking, because they feel good, they feel high, they smoke. Because why? They want to take risks because they can feel good. But they do not think about what's going to end up. They just want to enjoy the moment with their friends, with their peers. they didn't know that could affect them for the rest of life. What kind of worldview, what kind of ethic they build, you know, as they grow up. And that is what it is now. This part of the brain for teenager, it has to do with pleasure. It has to do with feeling high, with drug, with sex. And all those things build up the brain at that level as a teenager because they are very adaptable to that and they started filling this up. But this part of the brain called the precortex, prefrontal cortex, they are not well developed. That's why the mother and father has to be a good overseer for the kids because they know better. By that time, they have gone through their life and they know what is good and what is bad for them. They know what decision is going to end up with bad result. So they are the one that supervise the kid, communicate with them transparently so that they can understand and relate to you. When they get into trouble, they can come and talk to you and share with you so they won't get into trouble. When you get to the adult, things are pretty fixed already. And but however, the good thing is that the adult has very rational, emotional, intuition behavior. But because by that time, all those things are start working together and they are more mature now. So when we talk about when the person is more mature, because they have so much knowledge and experience, then they can tell what is good, what is bad. This is why adults are supposed to be better. In Chinese, I know you Cantonese say, what do you mean? You understand what I'm saying? Well, this has to do with experience. That's why parents are very important for the kid. And they are the one that should be, the kids should develop that kind of relationship with them. Well, I'm not talking about the 65 and 75, because that is when we refer to most of us. But I just want to end with a couple of things. First of all, I want you to know that scientifically, the mind, the youth mind is really resourceful, can take up in a lot of things. But for parents, I'd like you to take this kind of thing into consideration when you train your kid. Potential for learning is very high. Make sure they get enough sleep. Because if you don't get enough sleep as a teenager, youngster, your proficiency go down like that. They may sit stay for you for 4 or 5 hours. They think they have do a good job. They cannot. Sleep is very important. Taking risks is something that you have to watch out your kids. They like to do things that are ventures, but could be very bad for them in the long run. Now, these are the things that are really testing the kids nowadays, in high school in particular, when you, that's why environment is so important. Tobacco, including the record, the electronic cigarette now, kids are trying, e-cigarette. Alcohol, all the drug thing. And then I think we also have to remember the stress on the child, the children is really, very important too. Young people has PTSD too, not just the red from the war. The kids get so stressed out, especially if they have a parent, they're very harsh on them in an imbalanced way. And then the last thing about, already mentioned about the digital age. I found out that technology is very good. It helped me today to present you with the sharing today. But I tell you, kids can get addicted to this and exposed to a lot of bad things in the internet and all the things they age. And you don't know if they are hiding in their room and doing that on their own. Because they feel good. If your mom, father, they don't communicate with the kid and lead them to their peer in school, then you can be in trouble. Now, while they are with you, they don't show anything. They may not show up until they went to college. They are completely on their own. You still have a hold on them because you pay for their tuition, okay? But otherwise, they can do whatever they want. You don't know unless you have a good relationship with them, development with them. So that's why I want to share this with you. So what did we learn? The lessons we learned. We should all try to develop good habit. The good habit requires constant practice. Like the Bible told us, how you train your children. No matter what you do during the day, you have to talk to them and share with them. When you eat, when you sleep, when you go out for vacation, do something, keep in touch with them. And then we read about children. They should respect the parent. You should listen to them, like Christ did. You know, be humiliated, the humility, and also try to learn from those that are older and more experienced than they are. Now, as mentioned about absolute, the Bible is the absolute. No matter you're 2,000 years ago, 500 years ago, now, culture, everything are different. We do think a lot of things different, but the principle of the Bible is very important. That's why we need to read the Bible and get close to God all the time to know what is the right thing to do. And then I talk about the mutual cooperation between the parents and the children. That is the only thing that can make it work. And I shared with you last time about WWJD. Remember what that is? Young people, what does that mean? Were you here, young people, 3 weeks ago? Rachel, what is it? Yeah, good for you. What will Jesus do? You try to use Christ as an example for us. That's why I talk about the humanity of Christ today. Christ and the Bible, those are the two main topics. So that's what I'm going to share with you. And I still have a few minutes left. So I'm thankful for Eric giving me more time today and share this with you without, because a lot of information, I will not be able to do that with an interpreter in place. So shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You bring us together for a purpose, and we are particularly thankful because we are a Christian family. We can learn from one another. I know for some of us older, we have gone through some experiences we wish we haven't gone through because we don't have as much wisdom as we have decades ago, what we know about the brain and the mind, how it functions. But now we know, we took advantage of the science knowledge and wisdom that we can put in place to make us a more meaningful life according to what you have taught us to do. We thank you for all the parents here, for all the young children here. I pray, Lord, that this message to get across, that you think about it and what it means to all of us. Not only for young people, for the teenager, but for us, all of us, we can still be learning even when we get old, because our brain is still plastic. It still can change, even though harder. So pray that you will help us, that we have a healthy church family, healthy biological family. Thank you for we ask in Christ's name. Amen.